All right. Hey, it's day six of our novena. Today, the Lord's asking us to bring him meek and humble souls and souls of little children. So let's pray the chaplet together. If you're in a tough place today, my heart is out and united with you. I will intercede on your behalf, and so will the rest of your spiritual family here. This is the beauty of this hour. I call us divine mercy intercessors. If you join me every day and we pray for one another, you are a divine mercy intercessor. And the Lord promised that anybody who will spread the devotion to his mercy, who participates in this mercy like you do, making others aware of it and praying for each other, that he'll protect you. He'll protect you like a mother, her tender infant, that you'll shine in the next life with a special brilliance. And I just love the comfort of that. As part of the Divine Mercy Intercessors, and it was actually something I tried to invite many people to be part of. And the concept of the Divine Mercy Intercessors is this, that outside of this 3 o'clock hour or 4 or 1, wherever you're praying, whatever your time zone is, outside of this time of prayer that we dedicate, that if you just remember the spiritual family here in your prayers, these intentions you hear in your Mass or your adoration or your rosary or your sacrifice, that you become part of this community of Divine Mercy Intercessors. And this Friday, on the 22nd, Mass is going to be offered for you and for your intentions. So 4 times a year, we have here at Relevant Radio in our chapel, the Nativity, a Mass offered for all the Divine Mercy Intercessors. So if you pray with me, if you pray outside of this time for this family of ours, special graces are coming your way this Friday. Thanks for that Mass. So I'm so grateful for that. Hey, I've got a big alert for you. And I want to pray for Bill Thorne, Dr. Bill Thorne. He's been a guest on this radio program. His wife was a wonderful woman. And I just got word that God called her home. Her name was Vicki Thorne. You've heard her here on this program. She's actually the foundress of Project Rachel. And she's done so much to help women with post-abortion syndrome and the damage, the struggle that comes with that. She's helped so many people bring healing. My heart goes out to her husband. Let's ask Vicki to pray with us. She's on the other side of the veil now. And let's, of course, do our duty to pray for her and for her soul. I want to continue to pray for the health of my friend, who, by the way, had a very successful surgery today. It was a serious heart surgery he had to go into very early today. And he asked me to pray for his wife and to pray for all those, who are kind of, they don't have the wounds or the scars of a surgery, but they suffer in their own way. So I want to pray for caregivers and family and friends and continued prayers for my buddy Jay, who's just coming through that. And my heart goes out to Dr. Sean Tierney, too, another friend of ours. He's been a contributor on this program in the past. He's a heart surgeon, actually, and his mother-in-law passed away last night very peacefully. They were surrounded by family. They were praying. And his beautiful wife, Miriam, our heart goes out. It's hard to lose a mother. And Maggie was telling me, too. Maggie, why don't you open your mic and share that intention real quick from Dr. John Littell.
Well, sure. We had spoken with Dr. John Littell earlier today to see if he would be able to be a guest. And he said that his father passed away on Good Friday. So I want to lift up their family.
It's hard. It really is. Dr. David Simonetti, he's also a doctor, but Father Simonetti's father died 3 weeks ago and his mother died, just a short time ago. On top of that, within 3 weeks, he lost his father and his mother. So praying for all those who've gone before us. All right. I want to pray for you. Let's pray this novena. All right. And we'll lift up this intention and I'll take your phone calls here. And do me a favor, tell others about the chaplet. It's a beautiful way to spread the message of mercy. And I'm telling you, the bigger our prayer family is, the louder our voice is before the throne of God. Today is day six, and the Lord, in his revelations to St. Faustina, actually asked for this novena to be prayed. He gave her specific intentions, and I can't think of any other novena I've ever seen or heard of where Jesus Christ himself dictated what he wanted prayed for. And we're on day six of this novena today. He says, please bring to me the meek and humble souls, the souls of little children, and immerse them in the ocean of my mercy. These souls most closely resemble my heart. They strengthened me during my bitter agony. I saw them as earthly angels who will keep vigil at my altars. I pour out upon them whole torrents of grace. Only the humble soul is capable of receiving my grace. I favor humble souls with my confidence. I love that. So St. Faustina, that was diary entry 1220. The following diary entry is St. Faustina's prayer. And we'll pray that where she says, "Most merciful Jesus, you yourself have said, 'Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart.' Receive into the abode of your most compassionate heart all meek and humble souls and souls of little children. These souls send all heaven into ecstasy. They are the Heavenly Father's favorites. They're a sweet-smelling bouquet before the throne of God. God himself takes delight in their fragrance. These souls, they have a permanent abode in your most compassionate heart, O Jesus, and they unceasingly sing out a hymn of love and mercy." Amen. All right. Let's pray for you now. All right. We'll pray for your intentions. Oh, and one other intention here, speaking of bringing these little children to you, I received an email the other day. This mother, this family is saying, "Please pray for 3-year-old Molly, who is rejecting a life-saving kidney transplant. Dialysis is a short-term solution for this child. She needs a miracle for her body to accept and function with her new kidney. Would you pray for her faithful and devout parents who are being sorely tested? Thank you, and may God bless all of you." I'm joined right now by my colleague, Nick, the producer for The Midday. And Nick, thank you for joining me. Anything you want to lift up or pray for today?
Thanks, Drew. Yeah, I'd love to pray for my family, for their healing and for their protection, as well as a special intention.
All right, we'll lift that up. Let's pray together now as that family, as we begin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, with the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable, divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, our first call comes from Joanne. She's listening in Portland, Maine, and has been waiting quite a while. Joanne, thank you for your patience. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I've been praying the Divine Mercy Novena with all of you, and I got an unexpected text this morning. My good friend, Ginny Cassidy, who's a 93-year-old mother of six in San Diego, she and her husband, Jack, were founding members of our parish in San Diego, our Mother of Confidence. She was a Eucharistic minister and the kindest lady that you would ever meet, a very faithful lady. And her husband, Jack, just turned 95 on Monday. So I'd like to remember them both.
Wow, you got it. We'll be glad to pray for them. And Joanne, for all of your personal intentions as well, we'll lift you up. Lord, I want to pray for her friend. I want to pray for all those battling cancer, all those who cancer will be the portal to eternal life, Lord. It'll be the pathway. I pray for their loved ones. I pray for all those who've died. Give you these intentions today, and we pray also just for our country and just for Ukraine and Russia, for peace in the world. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Robin is praying in Berryville, Arkansas. Good to have Arkansas dialing in. Robin, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew.
Hey.
So I have two intentions. One is actually a prayer of thanksgiving. And 21 years ago, last Thursday, on Holy Thursday, I came into the church.
Oh, praise God.
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm actually, it's one of those things like, yay.
Happy birthday, right? That's great. Yep.
Yeah. And then 3 years ago, tomorrow, my parents came into the church.
Oh, wow. Now, were you a big part of their conversion?
I was their sponsor.
Wow, how beautiful.
So
what a gift.
I like to think so.
Yeah, I'm sure you were. I love it. That's fantastic.
So, yeah.
Well, that's great news.
Yeah. So that I'm very thankful for them. My father needs some prayer. He has been sick now for about a year, and the doctors have no idea what's going on. They have been running a battery of tests. It's like they're drawing blood and they don't know what else to test for. The only thing they've managed to eliminate is cancer.
Wow. Well, let's pray for him now, Robin. We'll pray that those physicians determine what the cause of this is. Let's also bring your dad before the Lord and we'll just ask for a complete healing of him now. And, we'll take that intention in all of yours. I'm grateful for your call and I'm grateful for your witness. Lord, I give you a Robin right now, and I know she's got many intentions in her heart, and I ask you to read her heart. Embrace your daughter. And I thank you for the graces that flowed to this family, for her conversion 21 years ago, for her entry into the church 21 years ago, and now for her parents. And I just pray for those on the fence, those considering entering the Catholic faith or even learning more, that they'll be responsive to the grace, to your invitation, Lord. And I pray that today, as I do every afternoon, that your mercy will bring about answers and bring about cures. It will bring about healings. It will bring about new beginnings. It will work miracles in the lives of those who are seeking it. And I do pray for all those seeking the counsel of physicians and medical care, that those charged with treating them will have the illumination of mind and conscience and know the right treatment, the right medication, and the right care. And I do pray for healing too. Touch those who are crying out to you now as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Before we go back to the phones, let me invite Maggie in again. Every afternoon, I invite you to do this. Follow us on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show. And please send us your prayer intentions. Maggie will go through them. She'll bring them to our spiritual family here. You can follow us at Drew Mariani Show. You can follow me personally at Drew Mariani. Know that we're praying for you. Send your answered prayers into it. And thank you for taking the time to do that. I'm going to be sharing more of those in the days ahead when I have a little more time. Answer just drew@relevantradio.com. Mark it answered prayer, okay? It inspires me, and it strengthens my faith, and I know it strengthens the faith of others. So it's God's working these miracles that defy science and explanation and finance and all the other things. Show your thanks to God by sending that in. Maggie, what's coming in today? What can we pray for?
We got a request to pray for Richard Brinkman, who's had many lung issues, pneumonia, fibrosis, COPD, etc. This family is praying that his lungs will be miraculously healed. Nancy wrote to us and she says, please, my daughter Jill has been dealing with COVID and blood clots. She's been very sick. So let's lift her family up. We got a note from Katrina asking for speedy recovery for her granddaughter, Sabrina. She had screws removed from her hip today. She will need surgery in the future on her hip, so she's asking for prayers for that. Matt asked for prayers for his court hearing on Friday to increase his visitation time with his daughter this summer. He would love to spend more time with her. We got a request to pray for the Hinsdale police. I'm not sure what's going on, but I would love to lift them up.
Sure.
We got a note from Dee asking for prayers for her nephew, Thad, who's been having seizures, and the doctors just cannot figure out why. And then lastly, Jill wrote to us and said, please pray for all of our priests, all who are suffering from dementia, ALS, and cancers, and for her family who are mourning the loss of family members.
Gosh, so much loss.
I know.
Hey, what a beautiful prayer, though. We need to pray for our priests, our religious, you know, and in particular, Satan has such enmity for them. They're vehicles to bring us such grace. And Lord, I ask special blessings and protection on them as well. And let's bring Maritza into the conversation, too. She's listening in Staten Island, New York. Maritza, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. My prayer request is that you pray for my health. Everyone prays for my health because my son has been, his name is Roberto Jr.
Mm-hmm.
He's been staying with me for a couple of months and gotten involved with very bad people. Mm. He's into trafficking a little bit of drugs between him and a friend of his. She's into also this woman who is upstairs in the first floor. She's a prostitute,
mm-hmm.
and worse than that. Anyway, it's giving me a lot of problems and my health, and I've been tortured. They hit me, they enter my room, just bad people that they know, and she knows, especially, her name is Ebony, she's an African Haitian woman, and it's really bad.
Well,
they enter my room and they beat me up and stuff. And
Maritza,
the police know about it.
Good. I'm glad you went to the police. You need to get out of there if you can, and make sure you're safe. That's your primary concern. And let's pray right now. You know, sometimes, and I was contemplating this the other day. You know, sometimes evil looks all powerful. It looks bigger than anything we can do. You take a look at Russia rolling in over Ukraine. You take a look at some of the great evils in the world, and you think, oh, yeah, how could we ever stand against that? God's grace, His mercy, can vanquish that dark presence in your life. It can liberate your son. And I'll tell you what, I've seen it before. I knew a guy who got arrested for trafficking drugs, and addictions can be broken. The Lord. One day when Faustina was praying, she was saying the chaplet, actually, and she heard a voice. And the voice said to her, it was the voice of the Lord, He said, oh, what great graces I will grant to souls who say the chaplet, for the very depths of my tender mercy are stirred for the sake of those who say this prayer. So we're going to pray for you and for your son and for your situation now. And I want you to pray for us and for everyone else. Everyone has crosses in their life right now, some a little heavier than others, but I know that God's very heart is stirred for the sake of those who say this prayer. So I want to pray for you. And Lord, I give you everyone united to me, everyone who's sent their intentions into us, everyone who's written, everyone on hold, everyone united with us in prayer. You are loving and merciful. You are all good. And I thank you for those promises. And I thank you for the fact that your tender mercy stirred for the sake of those who say this prayer. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Nick is praying with us in Chicago. Hi, Nick. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I want to pray for my sister Jackie Wilson. She had a 4.5-hour spinal surgery yesterday, and she's going to be in the hospital 2-3 weeks doing physical therapy. And she's also my caretaker. I have macular degeneration, and I want wishing a strong and speedy recovery.
Oh. Well, I am so glad, Nick, you got through. All right, I really am. We're going to pray for you, brother. All right, we're going to pray. I know how this affects you personally. Let's pray for her too. We'll pray for a prompt recovery for her, so you can have her back in your life. And I want to pray for you and for all your needs. Lord, I give you for those who are dependent on others for their care, but I do pray for this very serious surgery. I ask you touch her spine. You allow her to recover promptly. I pray for all those now in recovery, Lord, for your healing touch. The Lord told St. Faustina, he says, have fear of nothing, because I'm with you. And your adversities are only going to harm you to the degree that I permit them to. God's in control. He's in complete control of your situation, Nick. He's got you in his loving hands. And it goes for all of us. The Lord is in control. Let's not have fear or anxiety, but rather let's pray right now with trust. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Michael's listening in southeastern Wisconsin. Hi, Michael. Good afternoon.
Hello, Drew. Hey. Thank you for taking the call.
You're welcome.
You have a beautiful ministry, and I appreciate it. I listened for years.
Thank you.
I am calling because I have a daughter to be confirmed in less than 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And there's some challenges because she's quite beautiful and she cares deeply about our Lord. But there's other outside influences that are discouraging. And I feel that it is really spiritual warfare, that there's attack. And I'm perceiving that. So I've been praying and I'm asking that all pray for us, because I pray that not only there be a confirmation, but she can proceed forward in her life to whatever vocation God's will is for her. And I know she's considered religious life.
Right.
I also, with what's going on, I also would like to not just pray for her confirmation, but an improvement in my relationship, relationship.
That's beautiful. What a beautiful prayer. I'm sure she loves you very much. I know fathers and daughters have very special relationships. It's a beautiful bond. I have it with my own two daughters, and I have a daughter, too, to discern religious life, and is trying to decide where God's leading her. Mike, I'll pray for your daughter personally, okay? You pray for mine, and our spiritual family will pray for you right now. And I know God will honor this prayer. He promised that in the chapel, anything we ask, it'll be granted if it's according to his will, and I know he wants that relationship with you and your daughter even closer. And I know that he will give your daughter the grace that she needs in the days ahead. So join me and pray in confidence for this intention. Teresa is on hold, too. I'll sneak one more call in here if I can. She's listening in Long Beach, California. Teresa, good afternoon. I'll add you to our final prayer.
Thank you, Drew. I'd like to lift up my son, Christopher, who's in a very important interview today for employment that he's been seeking. And I also want to pray for all those who are unemployed, those who are also seeking employment. Yep. And I also would like to add an additional prayer for strengthening his family and his marriage and right. all those who are dealing with issues in their marriages. Thank you.
All right. God bless you, Teresa. Such a good prayer. I want to pray for those who are widowed. I want to pray for those in troubled relationships. I want to pray for your son right now that he'll be given eloquence and intelligence and charisma, and that those who are interviewing will see all those qualities and see him as the perfect candidate. And if it's not God's will, the right door opens for him. And I pray, Lord, for those underemployed and unemployed, especially for those struggling financially today. You know, it can be such a heavy cross for many. And I give you the needs, the wants, the desires, the cries, the prayers of so many of your children united with me now. And I thank you as I pray this final decade, for I know your grace is flowing. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Just a quick programming note for you, and I hope you'll join me on Sunday. It's the last Sunday of the octave of Easter, and Father Rocky and I will be offering a special Divine Mercy Sunday broadcast. We'll actually we'll pray the chapel together on a day in which the Lord promised that the floodgates of his mercy would be open. You know, it's an unbelievable day. Miracles happen on that day unlike any other. So convinced of it. Join us at 3 p.m. Central, Sunday the 24th. Mark your calendar now. You can do it on your mobile app. You can do it on the website at Relevant Radio. You can do it over the airwaves here with me as well. When we come back, if you have lost somebody, if you are a widower, you know, if you are a widow, stay with me. The Holy Father addressed not only this issue, but others, and you'll hear an amazing story right after this.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, thanks for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. I'd love just taking a look at life, you know, through the eyes of our faith. And there's so many aspects of our journey, this journey we call life, you know. And sometimes it involves loss. I mean, we just prayed for one another, man. That's so powerful. I could just feel the Holy Spirit, and I can feel the pain of so many people, and I can feel the mercy of God. The other thing I like to do is to mention so often what the Holy Father says. He is the vicar of Christ on earth. You know, he's the successor of Peter. And the Holy Father said something that struck me, and we can talk about it. He talked about how discarding the elderly is a grave sin. He says to not honor the elderly as God commands, to treat them as something to discard. He says that's a grave sin. And again, he gave this beautiful weekly address there in St. Peter's Square. And he says, you've got a commitment to honor the elderly. And when you do, you'll be blessed. He says, please care for old people because they are the presence of history, the presence of the family. And it is, you know, thanks to them that you're here. So he says, please don't leave them alone. And of course, you know, we know that this is in Scripture, right? I mean, I think about that all the time. There's Sirach, I think it's Sirach 3:12, where the Lord says, where Scripture says, my son, be steadfast in honoring your father. Do not grieve him as long as he lives. Even if his mind fails, be considerate of him and do not revile him because you're in your prime. Honor is a good word to frame that aspect of returning love that concerns old age, Holy Father says. We've received this love from our parents. Now it's time for you to return it to them. So just food for thought for you. And I think about that because as we get older, you know, quite often mind fails, body fails, but we also experience loss, you know, and I think one of the great pains of this life, one of the great agonies is losing somebody you love. I mean, losing a child goes against natural order. Losing a spouse is something that, gosh, my wife gets mad at me because I always tell her, I want to go first. She goes, that's just selfish of you. I said, yeah, I know, but I could not endure the pain of losing somebody that I love so deeply, you know, and death today is one of those few remaining taboos in our social culture, right? I mean, we don't talk a whole lot about it. We carry this image of the widow as this quiet, withdrawn person dressed in black, forever mourning, right? The reality of life is that a widow is very different. Becoming widowed, it's part of marriage. It really, it's one of those many seasons of marriage, the seasons of life. And I thought we'd talk about that today. My producer, Maggie, I didn't know this. I learned a lot from her. She's got ties to everyone from, you know, McCarthy to the founder of, you know, the Widows of Prayer. And Maggie's only been working for me about a year now, but it's great to have her on the team. And Maggie, I want to bring you in here. We'll have to talk about your connection to McCarthy at some point.
We will.
That's a whole other conversation. But I didn't realize that your grandmother was the one who started this beautiful apostolate. You got to tell everyone how that all came about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first, I just want to set the story up by telling you who my grandmother was and the love that she and my grandfather shared and how that led to the Widows of Prayer. My grandma was the youngest of a whole brood of children that grew up on the farm in Appleton, Wisconsin. They worked for every single thing in life. It was not an easy life, but it was a good life. She met my grandfather, and they courted for many years, and they got married. And he was the love of her life. They were opposite in a lot of ways. My grandmother was very devout, and she took faith very seriously. Grandpa was a joke teller. He was a salesman, but he was a good Christian man. She used to say that he was such a good salesman that he would win the Christmas bonus trip every year through his company, and she hated to travel. She was a humble farm girl, and she would be like, Jack, can you please just not win this trip? But they had the opportunity to travel all over the world, and they were such devout Catholics together. They prayed the rosary all the time. They had the chance to go to the Holy Land, the Jerusalem, a number of occasions. They went to Medjugorje. When she passed, there was a whole dining room table just full of rosaries that she had acquired from all these different holy places across the world. So she had started many prayer groups in Appleton, Wisconsin that just really took off. And it wasn't until my grandfather passed pretty early in life, he was 63, that she, that very same year, felt that she was called to establish a group of women that could pray for the church and pray for priests for the rest of their days, that they would take vows, they would live as religious sisters, and honor their spouse's memory that way, and honor the church with the fruits of their prayer for the rest of their lives.
Wow, that's powerful. It's beautiful, and it's vocational too. And there's a lot of people today, Maggie, I'm sure, who are listening right now, who have suffered grave loss and are wondering, where do I go now? What do I do? I know we're going to talk in a moment with someone, but is there a great resource you want to recommend to somebody to learn more?
Oh, absolutely. The website is widowsofprayer.org, and that's got information about you know, what these women do and how they commune together. And I think there's an email address and phone number on that website too, yeah.
And we'll put that up on our social media, too, so you can check it out. I'll tell you what, let's take an early break here. When we come back, I want to speak to somebody. I want her to share her story. Her name is Carlotta Stricker, and she'll be with us, and we'll talk a little bit about turning loss into a gain for God's kingdom. Stay with us.
Your virtual parish, The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, life can sometimes deal us a rough hand, right? And loss, especially loss of somebody we love, can be bitter. I often think of how friends and family can carry us through rough spots. I think of the scriptures where it says, the Lord promises He'll wipe away, you know, every tear. And I stand on that promise. I do believe that. I have not lost a spouse. I don't know what it's like, and I pray to God I never know, but Carlotta Stricker does. And she is right now the Assistant General Servant Leader of the Widows of Prayer, a wonderful organization. She was a close friend to Maggie's grandmother, Mary Reardon, who's the foundress of the Widows of Prayer. And she joins us today. And we'll take a few of your calls too. If you want to join us, share your story, or if you're going through a tough time, we'd love to talk to you. First of all, Carlotta, thank you so much for being here. It's great to have you. And I guess I should call you Sister Carlotta. Wonderful to have you as a sister.
Well, sometimes in the religious community, we do call ourselves sisters, and priests will call us a sister as well. But to our families, we're still mom, grandma, great-grandma.
I am so glad to have you here. Would you do me a favor, and I hope it's okay, if you could share just a little bit about the loss of your husband, what it was like for you early on, how you coped with that loss. I know there are many people right now going through that same walk.
Well, again, just listening to Divine Mercy hour that you had, so many people are losing loved ones, and generally it is a woman that has lost her husband. And the reason for that is, obviously, our husbands are generally older than we are to begin with. So I lost my husband in October 2009 from a massive heart attack. He never had any heart issues. He just had the massive heart attack and he was gone. And we had been married for 43 years and had 6 children. So nothing prepared me for his passing. And I know people who have had spouses with prolonged illnesses, they've said the same thing. They're never prepared. You know, when we talk about getting old, we talk about what we're going to do with our retirement and where we're going to go and what that retirement is going to look like. I think we so seldom talk about death. I know that wasn't really any issue that my husband and I talked about, other than he did kid me and say, well, I suppose you're going to get married as soon as I'm gone. I said, no, unfortunately, I just have one marriage, and that is you. So so many of our young people, when they're getting married, taking their vows, and the vows to become one, until death do we part, they don't fully understand what these words are until you're faced with a separation due to death. After so many years of being together, that separation, one having died, you have lost half of yourself, half of your life, half of everything you know about your life. Your life has completely changed. I remember that it was the day of the funeral. My son-in-law, Brian, came into the room and he said, Mom, are you going to be okay after we all go home following the funeral? And I was positive. Everything was going to be fine. I said, don't worry about me. I'm strong. I had to travel for my career. I know how to get along by myself. Well, nothing was quite what I had expected. After the funeral, it was only me in an empty house that was so quiet, it was unnerving. Family and friends go back to their own lives. So what did I do? I cried a lot. I was in tears that I never expected would come to in the amount that they did. I didn't want to leave the house. And if I had to leave, I didn't want to return home, especially if it was night. I should have sought counseling, but I didn't want to talk to anyone about the events, which were just too painful for me. I first thought my children would help me pick up the broken pieces of my life and fix it. Even if they had thought about doing it, it wasn't their job but mine. So I had to figure out what was I going to do next. And I had talked to some widows who had their husbands in nursing home or hospital facilities due to a long illness. And they had said they weren't prepared either. They had adjusted to the new lifestyle of visiting their husbands daily. But when they passed, they found that that wasn't anything that they could do anymore. Yeah. And they had to find what they could possibly do, adjusting all of that emptiness and sorrow. I see some recent widows who are so busy upon the death of their husband, they fill their lives up with projects yeah. and shopping and entertainment mm-hmm. and cruises. And actually, it's only our Lord who can fill that emptiness. You know, we know how it is. You've just longed for that brand new car. And the minute you get that brand new car in your driveway, somehow it loses some of its glimmer. So I had to figure out what I was going to do in my life. One of the daughters of a widow prayer who is a nun stated that the widow is a perfect vessel for God to use for his work because sorrow has completely emptied her out, that God can now fill her with many blessings and work for him. I was also told that after a year, things got better. And I thought, how is 365 days, how is that going to make my life any better? You know, yes, I will experience the first holidays alone, but I still have the loss that cannot be replaced. And I did find out.
So what happened? We have a few moments, and I do want to take a few calls for you. There's several people who are going through a difficult time right now. How did you get anchored? How did you get through the storm, that difficult moment of having lost your husband and ultimately finding out that, you know, there's another vocation that awaits you after marriage?
Well, actually, I had received an internal message from our Lord a week after my husband died. I didn't understand what that was about. But a week later, I received a letter from Mary Reardon, the foundress of Widows of Prayer, to attend a mass for the recently deceased husbands and their widows. In fact, that was the first time I thought I was a widow. I didn't even realize that. I still thought of myself as married. Yeah. I attended. I thought it was a beautiful, caring ministry, and to have a mass for our deceased husbands. Upon meeting Mary Reardon for the first time, I knew then what our Lord was asking me to do. There was a holiness about her, and I wanted to become part of her apostolate. So several days after the mass, I called Mary and asked for an application. You know, you have to find a new purpose in life. You can't just go on with not having any goal or any insight. So 1 year later, I made my first promise as a widow of prayer. And after two consecutive years, I made my third and permanent promise. Plus, I was able to profess private vows of simplicity, chastity, and obedience.
Wow, how beautiful. Well, sister, so, let's do this because we have a couple of minutes. I don't mean to step on you or cut you off. Let me go to Gloria because she's in the process right now of dealing with the loss of her husband who passed away just 3 months ago. And I think you'll be able to give her some insight. Gloria in Rio Rancho, thank you for waiting. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. She's beautiful. Aww. Thank you. It's how she told a lot of my story. It's really true, all that she said. My husband died, and I've listened to Relevant Radio for years, but I didn't think that I would matter. I believe my husband, he must be with his great I Am. He loved God very much. But I am having a great deal of struggle accepting his death. And yet I know I must accept it because it is permanent and he's there. He's where we always want to go. Everyone tells me he's in a better place. No more pain. Well, no, that's true. I pray the rosary twice daily, go to Mass several times a week because it's the only peace I have. But it still seems that everything triggers my severe emotions. Mm. I cried so much.
Gloria, how many years were you married? How many years were you married?
28.
Oh, wow. So, sister, let me bring you into the conversation. What advice would you give to Gloria? I mean, this is raw. It has only been 3 months. You're just talking a handful of weeks, if you think about it. And I know that Gloria was telling my call screener that she was in the process of putting her husband's clothes away. She just can't seem to let him go. What advice could you offer to somebody who's in the middle of this darkness?
I would say, give it time. You don't need to put the clothes away. Let them hang in the closet. It might give you comfort. I know I did for a while. I just wanted to see him there. It made me think that he was still in the house. When I was ready to let them go, I kept a few things that I could remember, and the kids did that as well. But you've got to give yourself time for grieving. 3 months is hardly enough time.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of crying. I used to apologize constantly because I'd be talking and I'd break down crying. Well, crying is a way of cleansing. You need to do that. Don't apologize. People will understand.
I know they've got to be tired of me doing that. Well, so I pretty much stay away from them. But everybody thinks it should be over by now anyway.
No, oh, Gloria.
No, it isn't. In fact, with my husband having died in October, his birthday was in January. We had a mass and I had all the kids over for a birthday meal in his honor. And I was at the stove and I broke down sobbing. And my daughter looked at me and she said, "Mom, what's wrong?"
Yeah.
I said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Your father's dead." You know, and she thought because 3 months had passed, I should be over it too.
Yes, my birthday was the 10th, and my husband's on the 11th.
Oh.
And it's so hard. And I know I'm looking at right now at his shirt that he loved, the blue shirt.
Oh. And, Gloria, I got to hold it right there. I'm going to take a short pause. We'll be back. We love you. We're so sorry for your loss. We are. It will get better. I promise you that. But as my guest today, Carlotta, Sister Carlotta Stricker, points out, it's okay to cry. It's okay to mourn. And stand on that scripture that, you know, your every tear will be wiped away and death one day will be no more.